The Green Bay Packers take on the Denver Broncos on Sunday Night Football this weekend. To preview that game, we have a guest joining us, Cecil Lammy of ESPN Denver. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for a game against the Denver Broncos on Sunday Night Football. To preview that game, we have a guest joining us.
Expert interview.
We have Cecil Lammy of ESPN Denver, of Bleacher Report, of footballguys.com. Cecil, have I left anything out there?
No, I don't think so, but it's always good to talk football, and this one is a huge game for both teams coming up on Sunday night.
Yes, no doubt about it. There's been so much attention on Peyton Manning this week, at least here in Green Bay, and I'm sure they're in Denver as well. It seems as if some are already ready to stick a fork in him. How dangerous will it be for the Packers to dare Peyton Manning into throws this weekend?
You know, it'll be interesting coming out of the bye how the Broncos kind of change what they've got for Peyton Manning. First and foremost, the Gary Kubiak system is not working with Peyton Manning. And I've said on local radio, like, scrap it. Just scrap it. Move on and go back to shotgun heavy. Go to what makes Manning comfortable. And as we've seen, he's thrown with proper velocity on a few passes this year, just a small handful. But on those passes where he's thrown on target, in stride, about 40 yards downfield, he's got plenty of space. He's comfortable. He's able to step into his throws. On the plays where he feels rushed or he has to drop back from under center, which looks really odd now at 39 years old, that's where he looks uncomfortable. That's where he has happy feet. That's where he rushes his throws. And that's where the passes are off. And he's throwing interceptions in every single game. The next game where he doesn't throw an interception this year will be the first game where he hasn't thrown an interception this year. So for the Broncos, it's all about giving him space and room to throw and then making him comfortable, and that means more shotgun. You're going up against the Green Bay defense that's damn near as good as the Broncos defense, especially when it comes to getting after the passer. So it will be interesting to see how they try to protect Manning. And maybe they protect him with just straight shotgun and a bunch of passes to keep that pass rush at bay.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if the coaching staff adapts to what Peyton Manning can do. What scares me almost more than Manning is the receivers that can make him look good between Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and others. For the Packers, is this a case of you can't stop them, you can only hope to contain them?
You know, Demaryius Thomas can stop himself with those drops, so that's something to note. Y'all got Randall Cobb banged up with a shoulder injury. Well, Emmanuel Sanders banged up with a similar shoulder injury. Now he's going to play, but just how effective will he be after injuring that shoulder a couple of weeks ago against the Browns? So there will be some question marks there. And will the Packers squat on routes? Because that's what teams have started to do to Manning, and that's what's forced him to throw a little bit longer, those 40-yard passes I talk about. And that's about where he can throw, 40, maybe 50, accurately, nothing further than that. He's never been able to throw much further than that. But anyway, so if they squat on the short stuff, that means somebody else has to come through. And that somebody else could actually be Benny Fowler. Not the tight ends, although there is word they may try to get Virgil Green more involved as a receiver, but it's Sanders, it's Thomas. You know, those guys are going to get there somehow, some way at the end of the game. You know, they'll probably have about 80 to 100 yards receiving each. Well, outside of that, you need some other help. Maybe that third receiver is Benny Fowler, or maybe they find a way to get Virgil Green sprung because he's ran 39 routes this year. That's it. He's not doing anything as a pass catcher, and he's a seriously underrated pass catcher who actually had better numbers at the combine than did Julius Thomas when both of them came out in 2011. So, you know, the big stars, they'll get theirs somehow, but after that, you must have somebody else step up in this game against Green Bay. We don't know who it is.
That's interesting. If we were to discuss the best running backs in the NFL, I don't think anybody's putting C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman at the top of the list. But I think maybe if you were to combine those two together, they kind of make really one good, well-rounded running back. Would that be a fair statement?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
C.J. Anderson's hurt. C.J. Anderson's been hurt since week one. Now, you're going to look at the injury report. You're not going to see his name, but just being around the guy, and of course knowing what he did last year, we had over 1,000 all-purpose yards in six games to end the season, was third in the NFL behind Le'Veon Bell and Odell Beckham Jr. Those guys are pretty good. CJ's not the same, and it's not weight. That may be an Eddie Lacy question I flip back to you, but
yeah.
People saying, oh, the CJ's got a little bit of a gut. No, he doesn't. He dropped 20 pounds. So he's rocking it at 219 instead of, you know, 240 like he was last season. So it's not that. It was that toe injury. And as we know, and toe injuries, I don't care if you're Marshall Faulk or C.J. Anderson, if you've got a toe injury, you're kind of screwed. And that's what he got in week one. And ever since then, he hasn't looked as explosive and hasn't looked the same. Ronnie Hillman's speed. And it's a combination of things, really. Because I believe C.J. Anderson is a good back. I mean, he's definitely a good all-purpose back. Now, good. We're not talking Adrian Peterson here, okay? But the thing is, the backside pressure, this is a Kubiak system that the quarterback's supposed to hold the backside defender as a threat as a runner, you know, the bootlegs, the rollouts, etc. Nobody cares about Peyton Manning doing that, so backside defenders just go straight to the back. Now, CJ, being banged up, not as quick, not as fast, the backside defenders are getting to him behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage. With Ronnie, at least, he's got the speed to outrun that backside defender and get to and through the hole, but he needs big holes to succeed. CJ could succeed without big holes, but Ronnie is all about getting space, and obviously he's got that speed. He's a bit straight-line-ish. He doesn't change direction well at speed, but he's been the most effective Broncos running back because as the offensive line has had struggles and struggles to open those holes, it's Ronnie's speed to get to and through the hole, if it's there, that can help. So that's why we're seeing the difference this year. But, you know, for everyone out there, it's week one, C.J. Anderson gets hurt, and he's pretty much been done since then.
We're talking to Cecil Lammy of ESPN Denver here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning, continuing our preview of the Packers-Broncos game. Cecil, obviously the Broncos pass rush is one of the most dangerous aspects of the team. Is there anything the Packers can do to keep them off Aaron Rodgers?
You know, there is. First off, we're going to have to see if they kind of mush rush Rodgers a little bit. What's interesting to note about the data, and Wade Phillips even talked about this yesterday, about how Aaron Rodgers makes long plays. He just extends plays. And the data shows, well, that's true. Aaron Rodgers' time before pass is among the longest in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He just holds on to the ball too long. Now, for most quarterbacks, you say they hold on to the ball too long. You know, Andrew Luck, he's been holding on to the ball too long. That means they're flustered and they're getting crushed back there. Not Rodgers. He's dealing, man. He's out there. He extends the play. His time in the pocket's among the shortest in the NFL because he just abandons the pocket.
Yep.
And he extends the play, looks downfield. Now, if they must rush, that means they'll rush to the level. Vaughn Miller and DeMarcus Ware will be coached to only go as deep as Rodgers is. Don't try to bend around and go around the tackles and then tackle him. Just mush rush and then squeeze. That's what they should do. And then they're going to have to get some middle pressure because he can escape edge rushers. You know, if Von Miller's hitting the quarterback in 2.5 seconds, that's fine. He's already left the pocket in 2.5 seconds. In fact, he leaves the pocket in 2.23 seconds per dropback. That's 10th fastest in the NFL. So they'll leave that. If you get middle pressure in addition to outside pressure, which you know you're going to get, then that's going to really kind of corral Rodgers. And that's the only way. If the Broncos can't do that, Rodgers can easily escape and then deal and make it look so easy, as he does every week.
Yeah, the Chargers did that to the Packers last week, kind of contained Rodgers into the pocket there and cut down those running lanes. And obviously, you know, had a degree of success against the Packers, even though they came up short. In Denver, Aqib Talib is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, and I think back to the game last season where Aaron Rodgers avoided Richard Sherman for an entire game. Is he going to have to do that the same thing against Talib?
I think Chris Harris is better, honestly.
Okay.
Chris Harris,
you're a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, well, the data also backs up that Chris Harris is the top corner in the league. So this is a guy that's probably going to be on Randall Cobb. And again, Cobb's banged up. So we'll see how that battle goes. I believe that Talib's going to be on James Jones. Talib is a big physical player. He definitely has a ton of swagger. You've seen the pick sixes that he's had this year. And Harris can do the same thing. He had a pick six himself against the Raiders. So it'll be interesting to know how they attack. One, there's two players to look at, really. One is Richard Rodgers, because the Broncos have a history of not being able to cover tight ends. Richard Rodgers isn't that good, but at the end of the day, he's going to be open. And who's Rodgers' favorite receiver? The open guy. That's going to be Richard Rodgers this week. Next is Devontae Adams, coming back from his ankle sprain, which we all know was a high ankle sprain, even though he said swore up and down. It's not a high ankle sprain. Yes, it is. When it takes weeks to recover from, it's a high ankle sprain. He's back, and he'll probably be going against Bradley Roby. And Roby's been struggling this year. Stephon Diggs' first big game where he splashed for the Vikings was against Bradley Roby. So if Devontae Adams is healthy enough, him and Richard Rodgers could be real keys for this team in terms of dealing the ball. And then, you know, they'll spring Cobb. Cobb will get some somehow, some way. They'll find a way to do that. But I really look at Richard Rodgers and Devontae Adams as two of the most important players out there. Adams, because he's on Bradley Roby. What would be interesting to note, if they just wanted to scare Roby, line up Jared Aberderis, because back in college, Wisconsin at Ohio State, Aberderis had a 200-yard game when he was covered by Roby. So they could just, it's Halloween, right? They could just scare Roby by throwing, have Aberderis, one of the team captains, right, go out there in the middle of the field, whatever. But, you know, there's a couple of assets here they could look to and make plays against this Broncos defense. It's going to be tough, but they can do it.
Very good. Is there any sort of inherent advantage to the altitude in Denver? Here in Green Bay, Mike McCarthy talked about how the Packers were going to have to eat more carbs and drink more water this week than usual.
Yeah, altitude is a factor. People that come out here can know they get pretty winded pretty easy, unless you're from here and you're used to the thin oxygen. So, I think weather, I haven't looked at the weather reports, but I'm pretty sure it'll be a little bit cooler. It is October and almost November in Colorado. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit cooler. You guys are used to that. And that actually affects Peyton Manning more than it does Aaron Rodgers. But that altitude will be something. And that's the thing. If you're going up against this Broncos defense, you want to have extended drives. And you want to be able to push the ball to wear those guys out. Not to keep Peyton Manning on the sidelines. That's not a concern. But to grind down that defense. It's the Broncos' job on the flip side, on their offense, it's the Broncos' job to have extended drives so their defense can be fresh against Rodgers, because that's their strength. The strength is the defense. The offense doesn't need to go out there and drop 35. The defense will cover for you as long as you keep them fresh. I said this before, and I'll say it again. If you play them straight up, there is no offense in the NFL that's better than the Broncos' defense. Now, can the Broncos defense get beat? Certainly. I'd pick the Packers this week. But the point is, if this team is rested, if this offense does enough, get a little field goals, get some long drives, this fired up Broncos defense can be everywhere on the field. And not Green Bay, not New England, none of these top offenses in the league are better than what they can do defensively. But Green Bay is a well-rounded team with a fantastic defense themselves, and that's why I've picked the Packers this week.
I was just going to ask you, do you have a score prediction or?
You know, this one could be really interesting. Now, I don't think it gets away from either team. You know, I don't think we're not talking about any sort of blowout. These defenses are too good. These teams are too good. Mm-hmm. But if it came down to a 20-17, you know, I don't think we're going to see like 35-30 or whatever. I really think, you know, 24-20, 20-17, somewhere in that range. With the Packers on top, hey, Mason Crosby knows all about CU, right? You know, he knows all about Colorado. Maybe it's a late field goal at altitude, which, you know, they're easier to kick those long field goals, and Crosby's one of the best. So you know, I think it's going to be a closer game, and I think the Packers come out on top.
Very good. Well, Mr. Lammy, thank you so much for joining us. You're a wealth of knowledge. Like I said, you're cluing me in to guys like C.J. Anderson, Chris Harris, things I didn't know as intimately about the Denver Broncos. So we appreciate that very much. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy the game.
It's always good talking football with you, Brian.
All right. Take care. Cecil Lammy of ESPN Denver, footballguys.com, Bleacher Report, you name it. He's out there publishing and producing lots of content, whether over the airwaves or online. Check him out, Cecil Lammy, on Twitter as well. Appreciate him joining us. Appreciate you, the listener, joining us as well here on a Friday morning as we continue our preview of the Packers-Broncos game and for my two cents on what's going to happen. And there you go. This is going to be a weird one. You've got Cecil Lammy, a Denver guy, predicting the Packers to come out on top. Yes, for the first time this season, I am going to predict the Packers to lose. I have got the Denver Broncos winning 23-21. I know you're listening to a Green Bay Packers podcast, and don't hate me, but if you're going to, you know, want to listen to somebody who's going to predict the Green Bay Packers to go 16-0, you're listening to the wrong podcast. I'm not going to sit here and rip on the Packers, and I'll make this brief, but basically, what I think is Peyton Manning is too good of a quarterback to be making bad decisions all the time. And I think that's what's really hurt him, especially in the, you know, Denver Broncos last game against Cleveland Browns, if memory serves me correctly. There's been a lot made about his arm strength and whatever, but there was also several just poor decisions made. And I think Peyton Manning is too good for that to happen on a consistent basis. I don't think you can, count on him making several poor decisions game after game after game. I think that is a little bit of fluke. And yeah, his arm strength probably isn't what it was early in his career and things like that. But I mentioned before, I think he does have really good receivers, even though Emmanuel Sanders might be banged up a little bit. But between him and Demaryius Thomas, and hey, if they get Virgil Green involved, add all these things up, and I think he's got, playmakers at his disposal that will make up for that. And this, of course, one of the best defenses in the NFL. And I think, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, Brandon Marshall, they're all going to have success. Maybe not a lot of it, maybe not a ton of it, but now start again, adding these things up. If you can get a sack in a hurry from each one of these guys, one sack, one hurry from Miller, one sack, one hurry from Ware, one sack, one hurry from Marshall, and these guys, maybe a few others elsewhere on the defensive line or the linebacking core from the Broncos. I think they're going to, kind of pressure Aaron Rodgers, maybe get to him for a few sacks here and there. And I think that's what's going to be the difference in this game. And by no means do I think the Packers are going to get crushed. I've got this game at 23-21, so I practically got it, a 50-50 chance. I am just giving the edge to the home team who plays at altitude every home game, that's going to have the fans on their side and things like that. This is the first time I've picked against the Packers this season. Like I say, the Packers aren't going to go undefeated. It's almost impossible to predict where that's going to happen. But I, think facing a good team on the road, I'm not going to pick the Packers to lose at home. This one makes sense to me that this could be the place where they trip up. And, that doesn't mean they're not a good team. And that doesn't mean they can't go on to the Super Bowl, and sometimes that's kind of the thing you need to almost refocus and galvanize yourself as you get ready for the stretch run of the season. It would definitely be tough if the Packers were to lose, and then you go on against an undefeated Carolina Panthers team on the road next weekend. That could be a scary proposition. By all means, prove me wrong, Packers. I hope I'm wrong. But yeah, going against the Packers this game. So You don't have to remind me. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going with the Broncos this weekend, so there you go. But continuing on with the show, though.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers over the past 24 hours or so, I think one of the big stories yesterday was a new injury to rookie cornerback Demaryius Randall that kind of came out of the blue because, you know, when the Packers released their first injury report of the week on Wednesday, he was nowhere to be found, and it's not like he had been injured in any games or anything like that. And Demaryius Randall, of course, is coming off the big game against the San Diego Chargers in which he broke up that fourth quarter, you know, last second pass at the goal line on fourth down from Phillip Rivers. His biggest moment of the year, the biggest moment of his young career. So I mean, there was no hint that Demaryius Randall was injured or anything like that. And all of a sudden, Thursday, he pops up on the injury report with an ankle injury. This seems to be the year of the ankle injury in Green Bay. But anyhow, so a little bit of a concern, and we're still kind of waiting to find out, you know, what the extent of this injury is. Is it something, you know, he didn't practice at all. It's not like, you know, they list these guys, their participation status full or limited. It's not like Demaryius Randall was even a limited participant. He was in the did not participate category, which again, you know, raises concerns, raises your eyebrow, and kind of makes you wonder, is this something bad here? But maybe it was just a case of the Packers, you know, being cautious to be like, we're not going to, you know, he rolled his ankle. We're not going to take chances with him at practice. We'll keep him ready for the game. And that's just my speculation here. I don't really know what's happening. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see the updated injury report. What, you know, is he going to practice tomorrow? They don't practice on Fridays. They do, you know, they have meetings and they do strength and conditioning and all that, but they don't really hit the practice field on Fridays. They save that for Saturday for the last day before the game, before they leave. But yeah, so that was an interesting one. And the other new development yesterday was running back James Starks returning to the practice field. He had mispracticed on Monday and Wednesday with what was described as a hip injury that kind of came out here. I believe we found out about it on Wednesday. It apparently happened during the Packers' last game against the Chargers. Although it's not like Starks left the game ever, kind of popped up in the aftermath of the game, and you know that's not necessarily atypical. Sometimes injuries kind of make themselves known after the adrenaline of a game wears off, and apparently that's what happened to Starks here. But good thing that he was able to return to the practice field on Thursday, albeit on a limited basis, but it looks like he's taking steps in the right direction. I have to imagine with the bye week, James Starks will be okay for this game. Maybe he's not going to be 100%, but I imagine he'll be able to play. And, you know, it is interesting because another storyline that's happened this week, and Mike McCarthy has now been asked about this in three straight press conferences, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, being asked about Eddie Lacy's weight or conditioning or combination thereof. And oh my God, I cannot believe this is a storyline here that you know, the journalists are continuing to press the Packers about. And you know, to me, all I'm sitting here is waiting for Eddie Lacy to have one good game and this will just go away. It's almost as if nobody learned from what happened his rookie season when there was that unflattering photo picture taken of him in which, you know, Eddie Lacy is a big guy. He always has been since he's entered the NFL. He is not the lightest running back. He is a load. Yeah, maybe he's gotten a little heavier. I am not worried about Eddie Lacy one iota. I guess I can understand, you know, with the ankle injury that he's had, which I think has affected him more than people realize, apparently. Maybe that, you know, I shouldn't have to point that out, but apparently I do, because people keep asking about the weight. And I think maybe it's taken on a little bit of life of its own because the Packers, you know, eventually after the ankle injury that happened week two,
He had since been taken off the – he was kind of listed on the injury report for a few weeks, week three, week four, maybe even week five. I can't remember. They was taken off. And so he's got – he has the – you know, the Packers barely use him in the game against the Chargers. And he's not injured anymore. You know, he was off the injury report. Well, I still think he's limited by that, or at least was at that point. Again, it just doesn't bother me. I mean, he's a big guy. Maybe because of the ankle injury, he couldn't get quite, you know, back to the conditioning he normally is at when he's, you know, at 100% when he's not dealing with injury. But man, I am so not worried about Eddie Lacy. He's going to have one good game here, and this is all going to go away. He's a big guy. He's not a speed burner. He's never going to be. He's going to be a guy who gets by on plowing people over, and even more than that, which is amazing for his size, his balance, which is unbelievable. I wrote this in, you know, prior to the season in our top 10 trait countdown at 24/7 Sports. I think that's the most amazing thing about Eddie Lacy. Is his balance and body control for his size is remarkable, the way he's able to do those spin moves. But not only just that, like when he absorbs a blow, it's like he is able to bounce off of it and keep those legs churning, things like that. And the way he's able to kind of wiggle away, you know, not to say he's juking guys, but sometimes he just shows enough wiggle to get by someone or enough to gain a few extra yards after contact, things like that. That's what's remarkable about Eddie Lacy. And yeah, he's not going to run away from people, and he's not going to make them miss a whole lot, but he is fine. He is totally fine. I'm so not worried about the weight, the conditioning, whatever. Just kind of one final note here about the in our Packers news of the day. One other thing that came out of Thursday's Mike McCarthy press conference, he talked about the hero's journey, and he kind of gave us a glimpse into what he talks about in the meeting room with the Green Bay Packers and how he motivates his players. And it's interesting, this is a concept that Mike McCarthy has taken from basically literature and movies and has applied it to the Green Bay Packers season. And I suppose, you know, I could break it down here, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to direct you to our article at 24/7 Sports on the hero's journey in which I kind of applied it to a couple very popular movie franchises that have employed this literary concept, Star Wars and The Hobbit. They've kind of popularized this notion of the hero's journey. And so basically tying Star Wars and The Hobbit, you know, mainstream media, pop culture to the 2015 Green Bay Packers. Go check it out. I think it's definitely something interesting. You can draw your own conclusions, but I hinted that maybe Aaron Rodgers is the Luke Skywalker of the 2015 Green Bay Packers, and that's an interesting thought, to say the least. But anyway, as we continue on with the show here.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers today, we mentioned earlier, you know, Demaryius Randall on the injury report, and it'll be interesting to see what he is listed as on the, you know, Friday injury report, which is the last one of the week of the Green Bay Packers. But more so than him, I think the status of the wide receivers, Davante Adams and Ty Montgomery, both these guys dealing with ankle injuries, and where are they at? And we're going to maybe get a hint of it in the injury report when they release the game day status projections. Probable, questionable, doubtful, or out. Where are these guys going to be today when the Packers release that Friday afternoon? Now, you're probably, I don't think I'm going out on a limb here. Davante Adams is probably closer to returning than Ty Montgomery. Davante Adams' injury occurred longer ago, even though they're both ankle injuries. You know, Ty Montgomery's happened in the last game against the San Diego Chargers, but nobody has ruled Ty Montgomery out. He has not practiced yet this week, either Wednesday or Thursday. I
you know, if I had to guess right now, I'd say Ty Montgomery is not going to play, but I'm leaving open the possibility at least, but we'll find out more today. That's why I'm got this in the day ahead segment. That's what we're looking for today. And trying to find out is, will Davante Adams finally be in that probable category? He's been questionable for about the last 2 weeks, I think, or even doubtful early on when he suffered his ankle injury. And of course hasn't played since week 3 when he aggravated it. So, it'll be such a huge boon to Aaron Rodgers to have Davante Adams back, I think, and hopefully he's almost at 100% by now. Maybe he's not going to be 100. I suppose, as they say, you get to this point in the NFL season and nobody is 100%, but hopefully he's as close to 100% as possible. Because, you know, obviously the Packers have missed him while he's been gone, and hopefully Ty Montgomery comes back first, but I hope the Packers don't rush him back. You know, let him get healthy, let him get good, and then have him ready to contribute for the stretch around the season. Maybe we're seeing more Jared Aberderis on kickoff, things like that. So that should be interesting. But that'll do it, folks, for today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Cecil Lammy of ESPN Denver for joining us to help preview this game. He was provided just a ton of insight. Enjoy it. Sorry I had to pick a Packers loss. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong, but enjoy the game. Enjoy your weekends, everybody. My call to action, if you've not done so already, please, please, pretty please, give us a rating on iTunes, star rating, give us a review, a brief one. Nobody's telling you to write a novel, but it's the one small thing we ask this show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. Just the one thing that really helps us get the word out about the show is the ratings on iTunes. So if you do that, we'd love it. And that's all I got. Have a good weekend, folks. I leave you today with a song called One Step Closer by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Happy Halloween.